Well, good morning, everyone. It's another Monday morning, and I'm happy to be back with you today. We'll be talking about the brouhaha over the issue of homeless veterans. And my guest today is Cheryl Beversdorf, President and CEO of the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans in Washington, D.C. Cheryl appeared on the Fox News program, The O'Reilly Factor, where that show's host made a number of unkind, insensitive, and inaccurate remarks about homeless veterans. Now, that whole flap really incensed me, so I contacted Cheryl and asked her to come on the show and share her side of the story. Cheryl, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's nice to be with you.
First of all, tell us what happened when you appeared on Fox.
Well, I think the greatest difficulty was, frankly, not really having a chance to explain and give some factual information about the plight of veterans who are homeless. It was very difficult to get out the information that that I wanted to convey with respect to the reasons behind homelessness amongst veterans and the numbers, the accuracy of the numbers, but that they are not all located on the street or under bridges, and there was just a lot of incorrect information, and I was disappointed that I didn't have a chance to say more.
Well, I'm glad you're on the program today, so you have the hour to be free to do what you couldn't do there. Now, let's talk about the numbers. What does your organization say?
Well, it's not our organization. I want to really be careful about that. But the numbers are, in fact, nearly 200,000 homeless veterans are in this country, and this is according to the Department of Veterans Affairs. But it's important to emphasize that when you say someone is homeless, that means that they don't have a permanent address. That doesn't necessarily mean that they are all living under bridges or on the street. Many of them may be in VA facilities, in domiciliary care facilities. One of the things that I really want to emphasize to you is the fact that the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans, which is based in Washington, D.C., represents close to 280 community-based organizations throughout the country, and they're located in at least 48 states and the District of Columbia, and these community-based organizations provide supportive services as well as housing, both permanent and transitional, more often transitional rather than permanent. But many of the veterans who are homeless are there. And those, primarily right now, the population tends to be more those from the Vietnam era, the Gulf War era, or perhaps not necessarily even a particular era, but maybe they were in the military, but of course they are veterans. And the important thing about these community-based organizations is the fact that it's veterans helping veterans get back on their feet and get back into civilian life again. So that's important in terms of the fact that many homeless veterans are there working to get their lives together. Some are even employed, but they are staying there. But the other thing, if we look at those who are returning from Iraq and Afghanistan, we're not even sure where they're located right now. They may be sleeping on mom and dad's couch. They may be staying with a friend or a relative. They may be sleeping in their car. They may be, regrettably, in the woods someplace. But
those are the issues I wanted to bring up of what can we expect in the next few years. We're going to take our first break. Stay with us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardioid. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes. And they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code Club Radio when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few customers even know such products exist. SFR has obtained this technology that is backed by testing the oil companies have run, yet they don't want you to know about them. This product is made right here in the United States and is not a typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR lasts up to 6 months. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. SFR recently ran this ad, and the response from all over the U.S. was so incredibly strong that we're allowing listeners to receive a free bottle when one is purchased at our regular price of $9.99. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll refund the purchase price and shipping. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. Call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's 888-873-7371 today.
Welcome back to the program. This morning we're talking with President and CEO of the National Coalition of Homeless Veterans. And Cheryl, before we had to break, I hated to interrupt you. You were talking about some of the different scenarios that would qualify someone as being homeless.
Right. Well, that's and then you asked a question. You were focusing in specifically on those who are returning from Iraq and Afghanistan.
Well, that's a concern that I have because of just the numbers from Vietnam and the first Gulf War, and we've already seen, I think I read one statistic, correct me if I'm wrong, about 1,500 already noted as homeless that have come from tours of duty in Afghanistan and Iraq.
That's an accurate figure, and actually that also comes from the Department of Veterans Affairs. These are individuals who have gone to VA facilities that are expressing concerns, particularly pertaining to post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injury. They're exhibiting some of the symptoms. They're relaying the fact that they may have some substance abuse problems, that they're getting flashbacks, and some of the other, as I said, symptoms that pertain to post-traumatic stress disorder. And traumatic brain injury is a situation that we didn't see during the Vietnam era, and many are complaining about that particular possibility because of the so-called IEDs. But yes, it is certainly a concern. The important differentiation is that whereas after those people, soldiers, returned from the Vietnam era, there weren't as many opportunities to get assistance. The VA was not aware that these individuals were having problems, and there certainly weren't any community-based organizations out there. So Well, there are more people reporting now to the VA, coming to the VA for assistance. That's good. And again, we hope that they're also interested in coming to community-based organizations to try and get the support services that they need and the transitional housing to get back on their feet.
So you say there are about 280 community-based organizations across the country.
That's correct.
And how do they coordinate with you?
Well, we represent them. Many of these community-based organizations are funded by the Department of Veterans Affairs, and they're actually also funded by the Department of some of them are funded by the Department of Labor in a special program that's called the Homeless Veteran Reintegration Program, which helps homeless veterans get employment. But how they connect with us is that we represent them in Washington, D.C. We talk to Congress. We try to educate the Congress about these community-based organizations and that they're available out there. We also provide what's known as technical assistance in that we help them to run their operation better, help them to try and find other resources for getting funding. We offer an annual conference every year in Washington, D.C., where they come for training and learning more about what others are doing about helping homeless veterans get back on their feet. So, and as I said, a major thing that we do and a major activity also is what I'm doing with you right now is raising public awareness, talking with the media. We also provide publications. If your listeners haven't logged on to our website, it's www.nchv.org. And I would also say one other very important service that NCHV provides is we have a 1-800 number. It's 1-800-VET-HELP. And we get as many as 300 calls a month. And when we hear from veterans and sometimes their families expressing concern about either they themselves are homeless or at risk of homelessness or their families know of somebody that's in that same situation, what we do is provide information and refer them to these community-based organizations if hopefully that there is one in their area. If not, we try and give other information about what services might be out there, faith-based groups, for example, Salvation Army, Goodwill, Volunteers of America, or veteran service organizations that may have a local post where these veterans can get help. So what we try and do and what our focus is to eventually end homelessness, but at least work towards preventing homelessness and helping those who are homeless get back on their feet.
Now, when the men and women come home, does the military offer any sort of reentry program to help them transition back into society?
Well, that's a good question. I think that there is certainly an increased awareness about the importance of transition. Let me take it one step back. I think often that sometimes what may happen is that that at the time that men and women are getting out of the service, they may not necessarily think, they may think that everything is going to be just as it was back home when they left. They're going to see their spouse again or their family. They may, you know, they're likely to get their job back, perhaps again if they were in the National Guard or the Reserves, or they might be able to get a job if they're getting out of the service completely. Their friends are going to be happy to see them, and everything is going to be okay. So they may not necessarily be attuned to learning about some of the services that are out there and that are available. And so, but what happens then is as time goes on after they've gotten out of the service, life may not be exactly the way they thought it was going to be. War changes them, and war changes their families too, in that, you know, the families have gotten used to not having their, you know, their husband or wife around all the time. And that's when services are needed. And so to get back to answer your question, the Department of Defense and the VA are working more closely together to begin to address some of those issues. And help to smooth the transition. Does more needed to be done? Yes, absolutely. But there is an office within the VA, for example, that is trying to help with that transition and be much more aware of what the needs are of individuals once they get out of the service. And I think that the DOD is beginning to look as well in terms of once somebody is released, do they have the proper preparation to transition into civilian life?
So as it is right now, though, there's no sort of risk assessment examination of each soldier when he comes home?
I would be reluctant to speak to that. I don't know exactly, you know, what the total process is. Perhaps it varies from place to place where individuals are released, you know, from the service. I'm just aware that there is much more of an effort. For example, I was at last Thursday and Friday. I was at the Department of Veterans Affairs advisory committee on homeless veterans, and they have on that committee representatives from the Department of Defense. And also the Department of Labor, which is an important component as well, in which they talked about an increased awareness of trying to get the word out that there can be the risk of homelessness when these men and women leave the service, and that they need to be more aware. But, you know, with respect to each particular place where that happens, I'm not exactly sure what the programs are.
Well, now, somebody has that comes back and they're at risk for homelessness. You know, if you're in that state, you're not exactly have access to, say, the Internet or information. So you're just trying to survive day to day. How do you reach out to those people that have already sort of passed through the cracks and they're on the street? They're maybe in and out of a shelter. How do we make known to them the help that is available?
Well, that's another good question, and it's difficult. You're right. I mean, if they don't have access to the Internet or they've never heard of the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans, I strongly believe, and I know that many people who are in this business believe the same, that we need some kind of a sustained public awareness campaign in the media, whether it's public service announcements. It's interesting. This past weekend, I went to the movies, and you know, they have all these various ads that are, you know, on the screen prior to when the main feature is on. And I'm thinking, gosh, wouldn't this be a great opportunity if there was, you know, some indication, well, you know, when you're having difficulties, call the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans for more information, or get in touch with the local VA Medical Center, in which, by the way, each VA Medical Center does have a homeless veteran coordinator at. So people, if there was a better way of getting out the information on radio, on television, but continuous, not just a one-time only, you know, opportunity. Perhaps today some of your listeners will hear this, but tomorrow there won't be anything there. And so if there was ever some way that, you know, we could have that kind of sustained public awareness campaign, that would certainly be a good thing.
Well, absolutely. We have a caller. We'll get to him right when we come back from the break. Stay tuned.
Are Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Welcome back to the program, and we're talking today with the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans CEO and President, Cheryl Beversdorf. And Cheryl, we have a caller on the line. Bill, are you with us?
Yes, ma'am, I am, and thanks so very much for everything you do each day. Question to you and the guest, considering that you're dealing with a long-term situation that's been going on forever, and I would assume that you're both aware of the behavior of Congress in general, the Senate in specific. I was wondering if either of you had a chance to discuss this matter with Mr. Burnclaw.
I'm sorry,
Cheryl?
Mr. Who?
Yes. Considering that you haven't had a chance to talk to, I believe his name's Charles Burnclaw, I'll be glad to try to recreate the information and get it to you. Considering that both of you have not had the opportunity to discuss this matter very closely with Mr. Burnclaw, I think it would be very worthwhile for a follow-up program to include him so that
now, Bill, will you tell us who he is? Because we're not familiar with that name.
He is intimately involved in veterans affairs and standing up for veterans through decades of abuse. And I would consider misprison of justice for everybody from World War II through the Vietnam veterans, as well as Gulf War I and II. He considers that the veterans have been targeted as a class and or a group, and that ultimately it is due to the behavior of the Senate and the dark nature of the veterans' affairs that this situation is even having to be addressed by you people presently.
Stated so, Bill, you're saying this is private. Are you saying this gentleman is a private citizen? He's been an activist?
Yes, he has been an activist forever. Arthur Burnclaw. I'll try to get somebody to recreate the information and get it to you immediately. But there's a little bit more going on here than that, considering that all of these programs would be funded under either large block grants and or cooperative agreements at the local level, and that those cooperative agreements are very well structured to then ensnare the veteran into a contract, again, a contract that then ultimately puts them into the corporate government system that they have just got finished serving, to then be further harvested by a corrupt judiciary and or a social service contract at a local level.
Okay, Bill, I'm going to have to cut you off there, but I appreciate your call. He brings up a good point about funding, and that was going to be one of my questions. Where you guys get your funding for your organization?
Well, let me back up, because I think it's really important. In terms of the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans, we are, as I said, some of our funding does come from the Department of Veterans Affairs, and some comes from the Department of Labor, and in which we are charged with providing technical assistance to these community-based organizations, which are funded also under the Department of Veterans Affairs and the Department of Labor. But so the rest of our funding comes either from member dues or from contributions. We are a 501c3, a not-for-profit organization, again, located in Washington, D.C. But your point is well taken in terms of you know, your question is good in terms of what has the Congress done. The law that was passed last year in terms of appropriations, which is Public Law 110-161, did appropriate an increased amount for the major program that funds community-based organizations. It's, you know, it's the bureaucratic term is grant and per diem program, but it increased the level of funding to $130 million, which was quite substantial, given that the request, the budget request for last year was actually 108. So increasing it to 130 was certainly a good thing. Another program that the Congress passed last year was to allow for more rental vouchers for housing, permanent housing. And it's actually kind of a partnership between the Department of Veterans Affairs and the Department of Housing and Urban Development, in which the rental vouchers are provided by the public housing authorities in the community, but that there are supportive services that are provided by the Department of Veterans Affairs or the local VA Medical Center. And this is an excellent program. It had not been funded for a long time, and last year the Congress included $75 million for approximately 7,500 new vouchers, rental vouchers. And that's pretty substantial. Now, is it enough? Absolutely not. And, you know, we need to continue to get more funding, not only to take care of those that are currently homeless, but to anticipate the, you know, the forthcoming individuals who may be at risk of homelessness from Iraq and Afghanistan.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Cheryl, we're going to take one more break, and we'll be right back. Everybody stay with us.
Okay.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few customers even know such products exist. SFR has obtained this technology that is backed by testing the oil companies have run. Yet they don't want you to know about them. This product is made right here in the United States and is not a typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR lasts up to 6 months. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. SFR recently ran this ad, and the response from all over the U.S. was so incredibly strong that we're allowing listeners to receive a free bottle when one is purchased at our regular price of $9.99. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll refund the purchase price and shipping. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. Call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's 888-873-7371 today.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
This is an urgent RBN Financial Bulletin. Have you ever thought about making a little extra money at home with your computer? If you have and you would like to make money by actually learning how to beat Bilderberger insiders at their own game, this will be the most interesting message you will ever hear. Here is why. We all know that knowledge is power, but what most people don't know about is how to gain the kind of knowledge that insiders would really rather that you didn't have. Once you get that knowledge, it then becomes a question of turning that information into financial gain. Well, there's now a very real chance you will actually be able to make money this way. Here's what it's all about. There's a new program available that teaches you how to scan the media for enormously profitable insider stories. Once you learn what's ahead for a given company, you'll have an enormous advantage over the rest of the market. Get the details at www.earlymorningadvantage.com. That's earlymorningadvantage.com or call 815-259-4552. Once again, the site is www.earlymorningadvantage.com.
And I'm glad you're joining us this morning. We're talking with Cheryl Beversdorf for the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans, and we have a caller that's been patiently waiting. Don in Oregon, are you with us this morning?
Good morning, ladies.
How are you, Don? What's on your mind today?
What's on my mind is the 38 cubic yards of snow I got to go shoveling from my front door right now, but more importantly... with respect to Arthur Burncloud, the representative from New Jersey, New York area, who's taking care of the veterans, per se, he is representing a body of veterans that spans, you know, the full scope of all veterans, going back to the remaining World War II veterans, and he's trying to stay in focus with what the context of your program is, Nadia. Rather than take up a whole bunch of time, I will put together a document package and I will email it to you for your purview so that you can get a better idea, because he draws a lot on the present litigation that's going on with Morrison and Forrester, who has the 800,000 claimant veterans that are having all of their claims turned under, rolled, rotisserated, or whatever the term is, by the veterans, the regional offices for the veterans, which is the majority of them are PTSD claims, which in effect, and here's the nexus, exacerbates the problem of homelessness, as those of us who have personal experience with that and are very well aware of. I will
say, Don, tell us your experience. You are a veteran, right?
Yes, ma'am. I am a veteran. I'm a Vietnam era veteran with two tours of duty. I'm an amputee. I have been homeless.
Okay.
I've gotten myself out of it, but I did stay in the Veterans Domiciliary once down in White City in Oregon, while they repaired what was left of my right kidney. Now, that was when the VA domiciliary in White City was taking care of veterans without compelling them to sign adhesion contracts under the the assumption or the presumption that they were only there because they were alcoholics or drug addicts. That's changed since then. Pretty much the reason that they have that veterans domiciliary operating right now is based on a presumption that those that are homeless that are there seeking that care have a drug or alcohol-related problem, and that's how they address that issue. That's part of their protocol, if not a precedent.
Share with us how you said you were homeless for a period. So what helped you come out of that?
Well, that there's not enough time in a day, first of all.
I guess what I'm getting at, Don, is were there resources in the community? Did the VA help you, or was it sort of a collective effort of all a number of different resources?
There are always piecemeal resources that they can draw upon, and in this economy, in this day and age, and it wasn't so much different back then, you know, with respect to the, let's say, the COLAs that they use for their allowances that they have, for the stipends that they give, were reflective on the cost of living at that time. But that said, I have an education, so to say. I am a marine industrial nuclear non-nuclear certified pipe fitter, and I can use that as a skill when I can do it. But given my physical limitations, which, you know, the older I get, the more difficult it is to utilize that skill. At that point in time, you know, which was approximately 13 years ago, I was more physically fit. So I relied on my own physical ability. The reason I went there was because I did not have a place to live that was close enough to the Portland Hospital, the VA hospital. And back then, the Veterans Administration would fly from the Rogue River area, from the Medford area in southern Oregon, they would fly patients to clinic visits in Portland on shuttle flights and back again. You know, that they would do that. So I put myself into that position so that I could have my kidney taken care of. I didn't want to lose any more than I already had. But I got myself out. I am witness to those that, for whatever reason, could not afford to do what I did, so to say. And like I said, there's not enough time in a day to explain my own personal situation. But I have witnessed people that were less fortunate, shall we say, than I.
Right. Yeah.
And with that in mind, bear in mind that is now. That problem has been exacerbated, and it stands exponential to what it was then, both in part from the legal discoveries that have been made on the Veterans Administration's handling of claims, as well what this Arthur Berklow is uncovered as far as certain service organizations, if not all of them, as being culpable in this nefarious sort of thing that's going on. This is the VFW, the DAV, et cetera, et al. So,
okay, Don, I'm gonna have to cut to another caller. But I'm so grateful you called this morning, Don, and shared your story with us.
All right.
God bless you. Deloitte in Idaho, good morning. You're on the show.
Hi there. Good morning.
Good morning. What's on your mind today?
I'm a veteran, and I go to the Veterans Administration Medical Center in Spokane, Washington. I have 6 levels of injury to my spine, and in an attempt to get out of treating me, they sent me to Seattle and had a doctor say that there was nothing wrong with my spine, but he was able to identify 2 more involved discs. And they keep cutting my medication back, and now they have stopped giving me medication altogether because I refuse to sign what they call a pain contract, which in order for me to get the drugs, I have to agree that they have 100% control over my health care. And if either the VA or I terminate that contract, the VA maintains 100% control over my prescriptions and what I do. So no matter what I do, if I sign that, I give up my rights for the rest of my life to participate in my pain management and my health care.
Well, now, I understand, Deloitte, that sometimes they're doing this in other government programs where people are receiving finances from the government. Is this in measure because they're giving you controlled substances?
Yeah,
because they're
they want to make sure that I'm not a drug addict. But yet I took in a plastic bag full of drugs that I had not used. And had I been a drug addict, I wouldn't have any drugs in any of those bottles. I would have already used them up.
But tell us where you served.
I served in Vietnam.
Okay. And
but see, that doesn't have anything to do with it. They still have a contract to provide me with my medical treatment for the rest of my life, according to the contract I signed when I went into the service. And now they're trying to get me to sign a contract that takes away my right to participate in my health care. And what they're doing is they're withholding pain medication until I sign this thing. And if I sign it, I'm giving them all of my rights. I'm giving up all my rights. But yet, if either one of us break the contract, they retain all of my rights. So they're trying to trick people into it. And I've talked to several people when I've been to the VA hospital that have already signed this. And they're not getting the treatment that they're entitled to. So they're trying to coerce us into signing away our rights.
Well, you bring up a very interesting scenario. And, Cheryl, I wanted to ask you, of among the men that you see that are homeless, are they also involved in these ongoing medical care programs that Deloitte was talking about where they're receiving medication but they're still out on the street?
Well, usually the community-based organizations, again, that we represent, oftentimes they are located in an area or a place where they do those who are homeless or that are staying at those community-based organizations, that they do get their health care at the nearby VA medical center. But it's a partnership, and, you know, they get substance abuse, counseling and mental health services and any other kind of services that are needed at the nearby VA medical center or a VA clinic. And, of course, you know, given the fact that the VA medical centers and clinics can't be everywhere, then sometimes the community-based organization may work with a non-VA facility. But for the most part, there is attempt, because they are veterans and they are entitled to the services, should be getting those services at the nearby VA medical center or clinic.
Well, Deloitte, if you're still with us on the line, I had one question for you.
Yes.
Since we're specifically addressing the issue of the homelessness, were you ever at risk of it, or were you ever homeless at any time after you came back?
Actually, if I had not had a loan with a friend, I went for 3 years without any income. Had I not had that loan with a friend, I would be homeless right now, and I would have been homeless 5 years ago.
So you're
the lucky ones. But this all ties in to the abuse of the veterans by the Veterans Administration and a concerted effort to decrease their expenses necessary to treat veterans. This is just another angle, and I wanted to bring this up. I know I'm not homeless, but it's the abuse of the veterans is why I called.
Well, I appreciate your call, Deloitte, and you brought up a very good point, which is, you know, we do need a community to come home to, and we need our families and our friends, church, whatever that we can have that rallies around us that gives us the opportunity for healing and transition. And I think, Cheryl, if I understand what you're saying, is that you rely on that within these community-based organizations. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I mean, the idea of the organizations is, again, veterans helping veterans. And oftentimes those veterans who have been able to, through the services that are provided at the community-based organizations, oftentimes stay there and help those who are coming after them, and because they understand. I mean, they've all been in the military, they've served, they understand what the issues are, and are in the best position of helping them. And at these community-based organizations, I think it's important for your listeners to understand what happens there. They can, you know, these organizations provide, you know, emergency shelter and food. It's a whole continuum of care, clothing, again, the medical and the mental health services. Sometimes there might be a need for legal aid. That's certainly offered at many organizations. And, of course, one of the issues that, you know, why are veterans homeless? Why are people homeless? Well, sometimes it has to do with not being able to get a job. And so these organizations provide employment training and job placement assistance, as well as the housing for these individuals. Sometimes it's just providing social skills, perhaps particularly the younger people. Maybe they've never even had an opportunity to have a checking account. I mean, it's just the basic kind of living skills that are needed. But again, the idea is there are people who are there who understand what the issues are and are trying to help these men and women get back on their feet. And I think it's really important, perhaps, just to add, Nadia, that with respect to those who are returning from Iraq and Afghanistan, we're not only talking about men, but also women. I mean, you may or may not be aware that 15% of the current military are women, and so these women are returning with some of the same issues as their male counterparts, you know, PTSD or traumatic brain injury, not having the right skills to get a job. And so more and more the community-based organizations are establishing part of their programs to address the unique issues that women are having coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan.
So right now, the number of troops that we have abroad, you're saying 15% of them are female.
That's yes, 15% of the military are female.
They're going to come home, and you and I, being women, understand that there is a particular dynamic that they're going to experience that men are not going to have, and just by virtue of being female. This is a concern that I have, is if this is where we are today, if we have national pundits on television saying there's no such thing as a homeless vet, it seems like there's sort of this collective denial of some part of the American public that just doesn't even want to accept the responsibility of saying, you know what, We agreed with this war, and then we're going to say that they are not going to have problems when they come back. And if this is the way things are now, my concern is, where are we going to be in the next two generations when we have 165,000 people come home, which, you know, I pray daily that they will come home and come home soon. And so what can our listeners do to get involved? I wanted to ask you, because I know we gave out the website, www.nchv.org. How else would you suggest that people get involved in their community?
Well, I mean, first of all, as I had mentioned earlier, the Congress, I have to say, is certainly over the last few years, particularly the last year, has been much more receptive, and that's why I'm pleased about the increase in funding, you know, with respect to some of these programs. But I think it's important for your listeners to get in touch with their members of Congress, and particularly if they're aware and concerned about the homelessness amongst veterans. I mean, the members of Congress need to hear from the folks back home, especially this year, since it's a year of election, that they are aware that this is a problem in their community. And then also, again, those who are homeless or at risk of homeless need to go to community-based organizations, get in touch with us, and we can certainly help them to get to the right place, get the right referral. There is, by the way, an activity that goes on in many communities called a stand down. It's an event that could be 1 day or 2 days or 3 days, but many communities, and again, there's a listing of where they are and when they are on our website, but it's an opportunity for those who are homeless or at risk of homeless to come to one place to get all the same kinds of services. Again, they can not only get a meal and some clothing, but medical and health services, the same kind of services that are available at community-based organizations. But
Cheryl, we're going to take one more break, and I want to get back to that because I want to hear more about it.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
And welcome back to the last segment of our show today. This hour, Cheryl, has gone by quickly, and I didn't get to everything that I wanted to talk about, but I do want to hear more about what you were discussing before the break. You called it the stand-down.
Right. The stand-down, actually, the concept originated during the Vietnam era. It was a time when those sort of war-weary soldiers had an opportunity to get away from the battlefield and into an area where they were secure and safe. They had a chance to take a shower, get clean uniforms, enjoy meals, and get the medical care and the dental care that they needed, as well as get mail and write letters if they felt like it, and of course be with their friends again in a safe environment. And because this was a successful kind of activity that occurred during the Vietnam era, never mind, we won't get into the sad parts of the Vietnam War, but this concept then was adopted by those who were in the homeless veteran movement. And it started originally in San Diego in the late 80s, and there's now about 100 throughout the nation each year. And again, it's an activity that can be one day or 2 days or 3 days. For example, I volunteered, and that's an important facet I wanted to encourage your listeners in terms of volunteering at stand-downs, volunteering at community-based organizations. But I volunteered at one in Philadelphia and worked with an optometrist who was giving eye exams and handing out reading glasses to these homeless vets who came. And oftentimes there's as many as 300 vets, and this is the first opportunity that they have a chance to get into the system, get registered with the VA, get the medical care they need, or foot care, or eye care, or employment assistance. Again, all of these supportive services that we're talking about. So we've just started, because the year has just begun in 2008 to begin to list all of the stand-downs on our website. But as time goes on, we will have more listed. So I would certainly encourage people out there who want to get involved, find where the community-based organizations are. We'll be happy to show you where they are on our website, as well as where the stand-downs are. And it's a great opportunity to help these individuals get back on their feet.
Well, and you're right. There are people who do want to give and want to be a part of the healing process for some of these men and women, but they don't know where to go to get the information. So we're telling you today, ladies and gentlemen, go to the website, www.nchv.org, get information about what your community is doing. And if your community's not doing anything and you have a number of veterans that need help, then maybe you'll be inspired by this program, hopefully, to organize something, a new chapter in your community to reach out. Because I can tell you now, my feeling is that this is going to increase, even though we have wonderful advocates out there like Cheryl and others in her community that are helping the homeless veterans. My feeling is that we're going to see a larger problem in the next few years, in the next couple of generations, with this war in Iraq and Afghanistan. And now they're telling us that we might even go into Pakistan. So this thing seems to be expanding. It doesn't seem to be deflating. And we just need to be a part of our community and part of the healing for the men who have put on a uniform and gone overseas and risked their life so that we can have the kind of lifestyle that we've had. Even though I don't apply that philosophy to this current war, historically, that is the conviction that our men and women in uniform have had, and I commend them. And Cheryl, I thank you for coming on the show today, and I thank you for your service and all that you're doing with your organization. I commend you for it.
Well, thank you very much, and again, thank you for having me on the show as well.
Well, I hope you'll come back.
All right.
Everybody, thanks for listening.
With recent international flight from